So tonight we begin, if not the most complicated and controversial part of Hilchos Mezuzah, then amongst the most controversial, in the top three or four sections of controversy in Hilchos Mezuzah, where especially getting to an answer is very vague. And I would even, and add on, much as beyond Shulchan Aruch, meaning we'll see Shulchan Aruch is not much, there's not much to say, but then, okay, what exactly does that mean in practice for various circumstances? So that's going to raise some issues. It looks like I got good internet tonight. Are we, everybody hears me? No jumping or anything? We're good? Okay, so on that source sheet, so I think on page one, and truth is, we might have to jump around this source sheet a little bit. It got to a point where I was just like copying pages, throwing them on, and etc. But that will come a little bit later. We'll see how far we get. So the tour says as follows. We got to start in the tour. And another challenge is that the tour's understanding of what's going on does not seem to, does not necessarily correlate with Rashi's understanding of what's going on. So, like, you look up the Gemara, and you learn the Gemara with Rashi, but it comes out a little bit differently when we learn here with the Rush, which is what the Tur is learning, and that seems to be the way the Beis Yosef is learning as well. So let's start with the Tur, and then we'll do the Gemara, and then we'll see what the Beis Yosef says about it. So, and there's two halves, so we're going to do the first half, and then the second half. I'm not sure how much we'll get in the second half tonight. But Ein HaPesach Chayiv B'Mezuzah Afilu Hu Omi B'Makom HaChayiv Elim Kein Asui Ketikna, that a doorway does not require a mezuzah, even if it is a place where it is chayiv, unless it is a proper doorway. Ketzad. So what is a proper doorway? Shehelo shtei mezuzos umashkof al gabehem. Now you have two mezuzos and a mashkof on top of it. Now that phrase should ring a bell from elsewhere, right? Where do we get that idea that a doorway is two mezuzos and a mashkof on top? So that is, see, well, well, could just read it as, well, you have two mezuzos and then a mashkof. The mashkof is the lintel that goes on top, and the mezuzos are at the side. But it could also be saying something very specific, and that is that, no, it has to be a tzuras ha-pesach, a halachic tzuras ha-pesach, not just a physical, not just a, the way people talk about the image of a doorway, but a halachic tzuras ha-pesach, which is, for those that have done Erev checks, Sam, right, you've done even on the driving end, at least, right? So you have the, meaning the mashkof has to be on top of the mezuzos, right? Which is why you have, which is why you can't just set up all electric wires. You actually have to have the wire on top of the pole, directly on top of the pole. So is that required here as well? Meaning, is that making a halachic statement or not? So let's, pocket that, table that, and we'll see where that shows up again. So v'im ein ha-mashkof, now if there's no lintel, shadelas shokef olav lamala yashar, that the door just has on top of it something straight, ela achen ela even nichnas ve'even yotzei, meaning there's no straight doorpost on top, rather is just like a jagged edge, the even yotzei, O she'ein ha-mezuzah yishara, el even nichnas ve'even yotzei pater, or the mezuzah is not straight, rather it's like going in and out, jagged, so then that's going, you're going to be pater, if it is not a perfectly formed, not a formed doorway. Now what does that mean, like, what exactly is that referring to, that it would be jagged in and out? So, for instance, if you have a brick, the image that the Gemara is going to use, we'll see the Gemara in a second, is you have a brick wall, so the bricks go, one on, they don't go directly one on top of the other, rather they go sort of horizontal, right? If we, sure,
offset.
What?
Yeah. Well, they're offset back.
Offset bricks, yes. I see in all the images I have, I don't really have a good image of this, right? But, right, offset bricks. So the point is that it has to be a formed doorway as opposed to just you smash through a wall, and now you have bricks that are jagged in and out, in and out, in and out, and isn't actually forming a doorway, rather that's just called a hole in a wall, and therefore not going to be chayv and mezuzah. That seems to be what it's saying. So with that, let's head over to the side, to the Beis Yosef here. So the Beis Yosef is quoting this. It's really like one line, in the two, three lines in the Gemara, right? So the Beis Yosef, the top four lines, five lines is quoting from the Torah, and then quotes you the source for it. He says, Perek HaKomets, right? Menachos Slam Gimel, Amar Rava Hani Pischa Shimai Peturim Min HaMezuzah. Right? The Pischa Shimai are exempt from Mezuzah. So what? So the Gemara asks a very logical question. My Pischa Shimai, right? So what are these Pischei Shammai to which you refer. What is that talking about? So pliguba Rav Ruchume v'Rav Yosef. So Chad Amar deleis lehu tikra, v'Chad Amar deleis lehu shikvi. Yeah, there's a little bit of a question. As you see there, what the girsa is. The Gemara. This Gemara is quoted in two places. Important, right? One Menachos, the other one in Erevin, and I think it's quoted different ways in different places. But anyways, one says that there is no tikra, literally there is no lintel, and the other one is literally that there are no posts. So what does that mean, there's no lintel or no posts? So the Beis Yosef continues on and says, Upirshu atosus v'arash, the leis lehu tikra, what does it mean that there is no lintel? Peirush shadelus shokif ba milmala, eno shava, that the top part of the door is not straight. Ela avne hakipa achas nichneses vi achas yotzas. Rather, one brick is going down, the other one's going up. I mean, it's not a straight across finished thing. Rather, it's jagged up and down, up and down, up and down. Achas yotzas. Uve inen ze de leislehu shikvi ela avanim boltos kemo shine hachoma. Right, which means that it's not straight. Rather, the stones are coming out like teeth of a wall, which I think is what it means, like the top of a castle, when you have up and down, up and down, up and down. I think that's what it means. So it's not straight, it's not a finished thing, and therefore it's not going to be chayiv. Right. Vistamra bein period. Okay, so that's the way the Rush understands that there is no lintel. Vistam Rabbeinu Dvar of Kedivri Atosus V'Harash, and our, meaning the tour, is understanding this like Tosos and the Rush. V'Avali Lichtov Sherashi V'Harambam Lo Pershukein. And by the way, Rashi and the Ram don't understand it that way. Rashi has a couple of different interpretations. He might understand it that way. But Kein Sherashi Pershulaisle Tikra Askupa Elyona Shikve Mezuzah. So rather, what Rashi means is that there is no ceiling on top. That's the second understanding of Rashi. But okay, Lashon Achad Leis Lehu Tikra She'en Habayis Mekor, that the doorway does not have a. That was the first. The first Rashi is that the Leis Le Tikra Askupe Elyona Shikfe Mezuzos, that the I think that it doesn't match up with the mezuzos, or that there is no ceiling on top. Period. Shikve askupa elyona v'arambam kasav peirush achon. The Rambam gives a different pshat as well. Whatever. The Rambam is not necessarily bound to translate every piece of Gemara. Now, the next little section here discusses, he says, wait a second, if there is no ceiling on top, so this we actually had in the tour a couple of pages ago, where it says, hey, where we quoted the same pshat, it said that the room has to have a ceiling. And the Meforshim commented, right, the Prisha there and others commented, hey, wait a second, if it doesn't have a ceiling, so that's like a chatzir, but a chatzir requires a mezuzah, so what's the difference? It says, well, this room was a room that is meant to have a ceiling and doesn't have a ceiling. So then that's going to be a problem of not having a mezuzah, as opposed to a chatzir, as opposed to a courtyard, where the whole idea is that it's not supposed to have a mezuzah. Okay, so anyways, so that is the first thing that is being put down by the Beis Yosef. He needs to have a mezuzah, and needs to have, well, at least two mezuzahs, it sounds like at this point, and needs to have a mashkof, and if it doesn't have either of those two things, so then it sounds like it's going to be pater. Now, the bottom part deals with what happens if you only have one doorpost and not two doorposts. Maybe let's put that on hold. I'm not sure that it's the best to go in this order or not, but let's do the second half here. Let's do the other line here as well. So if we skip the part about where it says v'chasav Mordechai and it goes to Pesach she'ein bo el mezuzah achas. So what about if there's only one mezuzah? And kigon shemitzada echad over akosav v'hala mea Pesach. For example, on one side, the wall just goes on beyond from the doorway. So what is that description? So what it seems is the tour is describing, at least, is that is picture number one. You see on the bottom left of the page, there's three diagrams. Well, there's four diagrams, but they're designated Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. There's Aleph, Beis, A, and Beis, B, and then Gimel, right? So this is Aleph.
right? In fact, in the Torah where this is being quoted from, so it's, there's footnote Dalet, which sends you to footnote Dalet, and says Re'et Surah Aleph, right? So here you have the door, the room. It's not the, you know, the most dramatic picture here, but you have, you're walking from the Aleph into the room. So you have a mezuzah in theory on your right, and you don't have a mezuzah on your left. Okay, so what about that? So with Perek HaKometz, there's the following discussion. Amar Memar, Haipischa Da'aktina. So you have a doorway at a corner. So Chayiv B'Mezuzah. Now, it's unclear what exactly that is. Probably a machlokas Rashi and Rush, what exactly is the Pischa Da'aktina. But we'll just go with that for now. It's around the corner. So Amarli Ravashi La Memar B'Halisle Pitzimim. He says, but wait a second, but there are no doorpost. There's no mezuzos. So the truth is, well, we'll see. Okay, so Amar Lei, he says, what do you mean? Adi Pitzimi. There are the Pitzimim. Now, what is that referring to? So what it might be is, of course, we have to give some explanation here, although he'll explain it a little bit further on. You know, skip a couple of lines where it says, Upirish Harush, Pischa da'aktana, right? So on line 5, we'll come back to the next line of the Gemara in a second. So, right, normally he gives you Rashi's pshat, but here he's giving you the Rush's pshat because that's what the Beis Yosef wants to drive you towards. So he says, Uperish HaRush, Pischa da'aktana, Kigon, Shapesach Memale Kol Mizrach Umagia Mitzafon Ledarom. What's the example of the Pischa da'aktana? For example, you have a the doorway fills the entire eastern side going from north to south, right? That there's, essentially, there is no door on one side of the yard. It's a three-walled room or a three-walled something or other, right? So he says, right, so he saw that there was a mezuzah there, right? That's what Amemar said. It's chayv in mezuzah. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second, but there's no mezuzos then, right? You just have two walls ending, right? You understand what I'm the example we're giving? Let me just, do I have in my pictures here any, if you go to page 10 are the diagrams from the Chovas Hadar. So if you go to page 10, so it's picture 5, essentially, picture hey, right? Just two walls that come to an end. So he asks him, but there's no mezuzos there. Why should it be chayiv in mezuzah if there's no mezuzos there? So he explains, so he answered, Ella, kosle habayis shel tzafon v'darom. All you have are the north and south walls. So he says, what do you mean? Adei petzimin, meaning that spot is called petzimin, meaning the end. When you get to the end of those walls, so that is going to be called petzimin. And that's his answer. Okay, so what it sounds like from this Gemara is what is Amemar saying, according to the Rush, that if you have these two ends of the walls that come to an end like that, so then you're going to be chayiv in mezuzah. Okay, that's the first Gemara. That's the easier part of the Gemara. So then the Gemara turns around. Let's go back up to where it talks about Rav Papa. So back to the second line in the Beis Yosef. It says Rav Papa ikla. Lebei Mar Shmuel. Now, Rav Papa went to visit Mar Shmuel. Chaza ahu pischa delo havale el pitzimi mismola vavidale mezuzah. So, Rav Papa went to visit Mar Shmuel. Second here. So he goes to visit Mar Shmuel, and he sees that he has only one mezuzah on the left side. Right? He only had one pitzima, meaning one pole or one end, and that was on the left side. Vavidale mezuzah, and he put a mezuzah there. So Amar Lei. So he says to him, Kiman, Karebi Meir, why are you putting a mezuzah on the left side? Right? Are you holding like Rebbe Meir? Now, once again, it's unclear what exactly this case is. For the purpose of the Rush, he's going to understand it back to Beis, right? Aleph and Beis are really the same, right? So it's the small case, where you're going from where the words small are into the room, right? So on your right side is just a plain wall, and on your left side is a, for lack of a better term, a wall ending, right? The wall ends, and therefore allows one to go in. So he says, what do you mean? Plus there's one, plus you have one mezuzah? So he says, so who are you holding like Rabbi Meir? So, Imor da Amar Rabbi Meir mi yamin, mi smol mi Amar. He says, Rabbi Meir, maybe it's true Rabbi Meir holds you need a mezuzah only if there is one doorpost, but that would only be if it's a right side doorpost. On the left side, who says? The Tanya, as we see, it goes through right. Beisecha biyasa min yamin, right? My Rabbi Meir, the Tanya baisha in lo ela pitzim echad, Rabbi Meir mechayv mezuzah v'chayv potrim, right? The Gemara, actually, the Beis Yosef is skipping about five, 10 lines of Gemara, and concludes with that you see you need on the right side, according to Rabbi Meir, but you need on the right side, period. And that's the end of the Gemara. Okay? So there's two machlokas going on here. Number one is a machlokas Rabbi Meir versus, it sounds like, others. If you only have a mezuzah on the right side, whether you're going to be chayev a mezuzah there or not. Now, the truth is, you learn Gemara, it's a little bit hard to understand, right? This wasn't Rav Papa visiting some Shmegegi, right? This was Rav Papa visiting Mar Shmuel, right? And the Gemara never gives an answer for Shmuel, right? And the poskim sort of just push him to the side, right? I don't know if Shmuel had a defense or not. I don't know if there's a way of defending him. But the poskim sort of read the Gemara as, you see, Rav Papa put Mar Shmuel in his place. I don't know, Mar Shmuel's like, probably knew Hilchos Mezuzah as well, right? So, but the Gemara never gives him a chance to answer, right? The Gemara is just left with this question of, this Rabbi Meir who holds that it goes on one side, versus it sounds like everybody else who says that you need two mezuzahs in order to be chayv a mezuzah, in order to be chayv in a mezuzah. So, we'll see. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, like we would expect it to, like the Chachamim against Rabbi Meir, meaning Rabbi Meir is sort of an outlandish shita. But then others bring Rabbi Meir back and say, no, we actually paskin like Rabbi Meir in this case, as the Beis Yosef himself seems to get to at the end. But the other discussion that the Gemara seems to be having here is, what do we do about the fact that a wall all of a sudden ends, right? Is that considered to be a doorway or not? So the Beis Yosef continues on and says, Uperisha Rush, the Piska Dakdan, all right, we read those rushes already. So Chaza Deleika Elachad Ptsimi Nismova Avad Le Mezuzah, right? Vahaya Kosel Habayis Letzad Yamin, right? Which is describing picture B. Right, the wall was on the right side of Pesach, Overla, Mina Pesach, Nimsa Shelo Aya Lo Patsim Ela Mismol. The cover of Patsim Mezuzas Hasmol. And Shmuel put them on the left side. So Vachas of Od, Veneer the Halacha, period. Okay, and that's the way the Rush understands the Gemara. So Vachas of Od, Veneer the Halacha, Kari Meir, the Rabbi Yishmol, Rabbi Akiva, Kaimei Kavase. I think that he thinks the Halacha is like Kari Meir because Rabbi Yishmol and Rabbi Akiva paskin like him. Now, it's unclear whether they're really paskin like him from the text of the Gemara. All right, V'chein mashmi d'amar imer d'amar Rabbi Meir, mimin mismol mi'amar, mashmidi hava patsim mi'imina, hava nicha d'avik Rabbi Meir. Right, that's the way to read the Gemara. I don't know. You can read the Gemara in different ways, how he paskin, but the Beis Yosef himself ends up paskining like the, right, and he goes to this thing here. He says the Rif is unclear how he paskins, but the Rambam clearly says that you need two mezuzos. So, and he leaves this whole discussion. So the Rambam paskins, you need two mezuzos. The Rif is ambiguous. The Rush says you need one. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, you need two, right? He's going to end up, he's going to pass like the Rambam over the Rush, even though he might say that they're going to be equal. Okay? So that's how the Beis Yosef concludes. You have one sugya, the one on the top, dealing with that you need to have two mezuzos and a mashkof. And then at the bottom, having this machlokas about whether you need, maybe only one mezuzah would be sufficient. And also, what is then the status of this wall that is ending? Is that considered to be a mezuzah or not? Okay, so now you can head to page number 2, the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan... Oh, actually, sorry. One more thing that's important to see here in on the page of the tour. And that is, if you take a look at the Prisha Gimel. So Prisha Gimel over there. So what is that going on? That's going on Mimalei... Mamale kol ruach kazet, that it's filling the entire side, right? So that was
the description of, that was the Rush's description of the Pisrei Da'aktina, right? These corner doorposts, meaning that you have the, like the three-walled room where the two, the north and south wall come to an end, and then that's it. And then that's considered to be the end, and that you're not going to be, and you're going to be chayv a mezuzah because those, the two ending of the walls is considered to be mezuzahs. Comes the Prisha and says, hey, wait a second. We have another case of called an achsadra that we had earlier. And we had trouble figuring out what exactly an achsadra was. But the way we assumed an achsadra was is a room that has three walls and one wall entirely open. And guess what? An achsadra is pater min hamezuzah. Right? That's where the Prisha sends. The Prisha sends you to Sif Yud Beis in the previous Simon, where he talks about an achsadra being pater. And we understand an achsadra as being three walls and a roof. So how is the achsadra any different than this case that we're having here of the Pischa Da'aktina? So the Prisha gives the answer, Umayri diyeshlo deles haomedes b'makum mechitza. He says, yet you have to say here is that there is an actual door there. Revius, that yes, it's true, the fourth side is completely open, but there is a door there. If you don't say that, so then you have to come up with some other way why this is different than an achsadra that is mentioned earlier. Okay, so the truth is, I remember I learned this, so yeah, I learned the Prisha, right? It's on the page here. And if that's the case, then a lot of this sugya actually falls away. Because, right, if you're going to say that the whole premise of the Gemara being chayiv in this case is where there's an actual door there, well, you know, these cases of walls just coming to an end, 99.9% of the time, there's no door there. Hence, the walls just come to an end, right? You're going to have to be pretty creative as an architect to figure out ways for the walls to just come to an end and not have any door frame, but yet have a door there, right? That's not something that's going to come up very often. So often this entire sugya actually, you could, if it's like the Prisha, it could fall away. However, we probably do not paskin like the Prisha. The two in the back of the Sefer HaMezuzah, so he has an essay figuring this out. So he gives two other pshatim. One is from the Yad HaKtana, which I don't have ability to look up inside, but he quotes saying that, no, the answer to that question of what is different from this case than the achsadra is that an achsadra is like an outdoor bungalow thing that happens to have three walls and an entire fourth side that is open. As opposed to this is an indoor room that has three, you know, like a, there's like a real room that has three walls and a ceiling on top. So how do you know the difference? So he'll say, I don't know. All right. They're different, right? One's considered an indoor space, one's considered an outdoor space, one's considered a bias, and one's considered not a bias. And you have to use your judgment to figure out which one is going to be chayiv and which one is not going to be chayiv. Then there is a third answer from the Chazon Ish, which, where do I have that here? Actually, it's on that page of the Chazon Ish is on the source sheet. Sorry, I got to flip around somewhat. But if we get to picture the last page, actually, page 11. So, that the Chazon Ish gives a specific difference here, and that is the bottom left of the Chazon Ish on the back page. And I see it didn't come out very clearly, but the underlying part is where he says, "Vahashu maniach kana elyon al gabeim nasu achshav geshes haPesach." That it's true when the two doors walls just come to an end, and they just come to an end and end like that. So it's true, that would be considered an achsadra, that would not be considered a room, says the Chazon Ish. But once there is a mashkof on top, once there is a lintel on top, so then it becomes a room. So that's probably the way we assume the halacha, like that Chazon Ish. The question, however, becomes, what qualifies as a mashkof? That is the first controversial thing that we'll discuss. But let's first go to page number 2 and see this in Shulchan Aruch. See, there's not much here. Shulchan Aruch, Resh Pei Zayin Sif Aleph, Ein HaPesach Chayv Mezuzah, Elian Kane, Yeshlo Shtei Mezuzah Sumashkov. That a room is not, a doorway is not going to be chayv in mezuzah unless there are two mezuzos as well as a mashkov. So the, you could do, just because we're on the page here, do the second half first. The two mezuzos and the mashkov, or maybe one mezuzah would be sufficient. So if you take a look at the shach records, v'das harash v'tur, that filu ein lo ela mezuzah achas, the rush and tur both hold that even if there's only one mezuzah, k'gon shemitzad echad ove hakosel, lahala, mea pesach, im hamezuzah, mitzad yamin, chayev, v'mitzad smol, pater. Right. So, for example, you have you have one side like those diagrams we had in the tour, right above where we are. So, right, one side was the wall, and the other side is just a door coming, a wall sort of coming out to meet it, making room for a doorway. So he says, if that mezuzah is on the right side, it would require a mezuzah. If it's on the left side, it wouldn't. And the Shach concludes by saying, if that's the case, then you should put it up in that case without a bracha, meaning he really thinks, I think, that you're a chayiv, but because there's a suffix about it, it's against the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, so you would do it without a bracha. One other small point before we get into the bigger points, and that is the one Piskei Tshuva on this. So the one Piskei Tshuva here is significant. We've alluded to this before, but if you look at Piskei Tshuva Reish Pei Zayin Aleph, so there's a two-line Piskei Tshuva there, where he's summarizing about a 12-line tshuva in the actual Nodeb Yehuda, where the Nodeb Yehuda says, Shekasav demartef, if you have a cellar, shepischuhu al, can't read what that says, shtach haaretz. Shetach haaretz. Okay, you have a cellar where the door is just plain on the ground, meaning it's a parallel, on a parallel door. Right? The door, one of those doors on the sidewalk that you open up to go down, says the Nodeb Yehuda, because the Martha, pater mi mezuzah. That's exempt from mezuzah. Varaya, and his proof, is from Kedushin daf chaf beis ma mezuzah mu'umad ayin sham. Right? So the Nodeb Yehuda is asked specifically about those cellar doors, or an attic door as the case may be. Nodeb Yehuda says, pater, because a mezuzah needs to be standing. I looked up the Jewish, just wondering what's the proof from Kedushin Daf Chaf Beis? Why and what's going on there? What's Kedushin about? What's that section of Kedushin talking about? So that's referring to the halachos of an Eved Ivri. So an Eved Ivri, when if he wants to extend his slavery time, right, so he has to be put next to a mezuzah, and the Gemara has a limud that the mezuzah has to actually be. That the mezuzah actually has to be attached to the ground. And the Gemara learns that out from, takes it as an assumption that the mezuzah would be standing and attached to the ground. That's where you would put the Eved next to in order to pierce his ear. By the way, not his ear down here, but his ear up here, right? Ear down here doesn't count as an ear. We discussed that in Hilchos Peis, where you're allowed to give haircuts a couple of years ago, maybe at this point. But anyways, so the Nodeb Yehuda says, aha! Right, the Gemara takes it. The Gemara takes it as an assumption that the mezuzah is standing upright. So if you just have a door that is on the ground, right, a door into the cellar or a door into the attic, so it says the Nodeb Yehuda that you are putter in that case, no mezuzah required. Okay, and truth is, and that's it. Meaning, in theory, if we're just learning the Shulchan Aruch share, we could say, all right, well, that's it. We're finished. Let's go on to the next sif. But then we've been missing all the fun. So if we go to So the sugya, so there's then two questions that then you have to then define in order to understand this a little bit more, and that is, well, okay, what is a mashkof and what is a mezuzah? I mean, what is required for those two things? And the term that is going to be necessary is like a sof amud, right? Is the end of a wall. A sudden end of a wall, is that considered to be a doorway for the purpose of mezuzah or not? So, first of all, I didn't put it here in the sources, but if we go back to the original Gemara that we talked about the Pischei Shamayim. So what was the Pisgei Shammai? So the Pisgei Shammai was, right, where there was a hole in the wall, rather, and it sounds like the bricks were left jutting out of the space for the door, because he just smashed a hole in the wall without actually smoothing it out and making it into a doorway. So we can understand why that would not be considered a wall. But once you smooth it out, even if there is not necessarily a frame that is put there, it's just the drywall ends, right? So that should be enough in order to have a mezuzah. So that is what we assume lahalacha. We'll just throw out that there is a in the right. This same Gemara is not just a Gemara about mezuzah. It's also quoted in the Gemara in Maseches Erevin towards the beginning of Erevin, describing the same halacha there, about what's considered a doorway when it comes to an Eruv, right? Or the physical Eruv, meaning is having a physical doorway there, is that sufficient to form a Tzuras HaPesach? So the Gemara there says as well, that a Pisgei Shammai doesn't count. So how do we understand what a Pisgei Shammai there? So Rashi is consistent, the Rush is consistent. They say, oh, Pisgei Shammai is when it's a jagged door, where I mean there's just a hole in the wall and not considered to be a doorway, so therefore you need to make it nicer. But it doesn't say it needs to be finished. There is a Ritva there who says, I disagree with Rashi, and I think that there needs to actually be a actual door frame. That there actually has to be a door frame there. You actually have to sort of see some type of distinction between the wall and then the frame within the door. So that's a chumrah, in theory in Hilchos Mezuzah. Sorry, it's a kul in Hilchos Mezuzah. Why is it a kul in Hilchos Mezuzah? Because if it's just the wall that ends, so it says the Ritva, you're not going to require a mezuzah there. So we're going to be Ritva is not really going to be accepted lahalacha in the area of mezuzah, even if there's no ending there, we're not going to require it. However, in Erevin, right, the other side of the ledger, right, that it could end up being a major chumra, right, because let's say you have a if you use a tunnel, right? We have in our Erev uses the train tracks going along Wynwood Road, right? So by what's that called? The name of that supermarket, not Giant, the other supermarket on the corner of Wynwood and Lancaster. The hippie one. The Whole Foods, right? The train tracks that goes behind Whole Foods, and then it goes behind, there's like that Starbucks there, and then there's like a bank or two, and then is the train station, then it continues on along, right? So there is that tunnel that goes right next to the train station is a tunnel. So we're not really using that bridge. We're actually using the wires on top. But if we were using that bridge, so all of a sudden the bridge ends. So do we then have to put a Tzuras HaPesach there for that bridge opening? So according to the Ritva, we would say yes, because it's not just enough for the wall to end and there just be a hole in it. There actually has to be something constructed there to be a Tzuras HaPesach. So that's an extension of this all the way to Hilchos Erev. But okay, fine. So what's then required in terms of the mashkof and then in terms of the mezuzos? So we'll deal with mashkof first, and probably we're going to end up dealing with mezuzos next week. So the example of the mashkof that comes up is as follows. If you skip, let's skip page 3 and go on to page 4. And we'll just do this part. Picture number 26. Right, so if you see picture 26, so this is going to be a pretty common example, right? So you have a sof amud on each side, right? You don't have a door frame there, but that's okay. We're Rashi people. We're not going to require a door frame. So you have two walls that come to an end there, creating a doorway. And then you have this top. So there is no separate mashkof, right? There is no separate demarcation between one side and the next. So would picture 26 require a mezuzah or not?
Which page are you on?
Page 4 in the sources. It's page, I don't know what page, page Kufman Beis in Sefer HaMezuzah. right? So the condition, right? So on that picture, on the bottom, picture 26. So is that considered to be a mashkof for the purposes of requiring a mezuzah? So if you take a look here, so which is number chaf zayin, I guess you could say. Kasher ein hamashkof bolit. When the mashkof doesn't actually come out, there's no protrusion of a mashkof. El tikra habayis. All you have is the edge of the ceiling of the house. Mistayemes al gabi mezuzah, which ends on the doorposts. Im yesh mezuzah boltos hamagius ad hatikra. If the mezuzahs go all the way up until the tikra, now boltos is right that they stick out. So whether or not it needs to be stuck out, that's the next thing. Yesh lahachmir veladon es siyum hatikra kemashkof v'lishkoa sham mezuzah below bracha. So he says you should be machmir and judge the ending of the tikra, judge the ending of the ceiling like a mashkof, like a lintel, and put the mezuzah there without a bracha. Right? And he finds, v'zeh matzui b'prizdur shetikrasu nemucha. He says, and you find that a lot of times in a hallway where there is a lower air conditioner, right? Air conditioning duct. Hanase l'shamish ke, I'm not sure what that is. Boidam me'aleha. Do you know what that? Anyone know what that word means? Vida. I don't know what that is. Whatever. But okay. Meaning the air conditioning ducts where you have the air coming out of that space, as which is the picture in 27. Right. So right. He mistayemes b'tchilas ha'pruzder me'al ha'mezuzas ha'boltos, and it ends right where the mezuzah is. Right, shelafia amur yesh lahachmir lahachshives hasiyum hatikra kemashkof. So we would consider to be the end of the ceiling to be like a mashkof. So the example then is number 27 to say that yeah, that even though it's there is a mashkof there, the hallway that's coming to the number 27, right, is the ceiling ends, so to speak, and then goes up at that point. Actually, I think he's saying the opposite way. He's saying from 27 going in, right? Despite the fact that there is no that the ceiling is not any different height than the mashkuf itself, he says in that case you would be chayv. And that is as opposed to picture 28, right? In picture 28, there's just a long ceiling, and there is no actual mashkuf there. So he's saying, in that case, in picture 28, you would be putter because there is no mashkof that is demarcating. So, by the way, this, so, period. So that is his halacha with regards to the mashkof. Now, we see it might change around a little bit, but do we got that? How are we on that so far? So that, by the way, ends a lot of these questions. A lot of these questions, like these kitchen questions, where you have a kitchen separate from the dining room, and there's like a doorpost there, etc. A lot of times you look up, there's no mashkof there. There's nothing on top demarcating the two sides. In which case, you're not going to be chayev in a mezuzah because there's no lintel on top. I remember when I learned Tilchus, the first time I ever really learned Tilchus mezuzah in a shir for Rabbi Simon. I think he still gives them. To smicha students, first year smicha students, he gives a 2-week, like a 2-shear Hilchos Mezuzah crash course. So I think he mentioned when I was in the class that in a lot of the apartments in Williamsburg, at least the older apartments in Williamsburg, for some reason when they built the Section 8 housing there, for some reason they did not put in like the main doors into the apartments. Did not have a mashkof. Like the door just swung open and closed, and there was nothing on top. So you had all these like Hasidish apartments in Williamsburg that were pater from mezuzah on their front doors because there's no mashkof there. Okay. So then the next right, so that, of course, again, is describing number 26. Now, the way he proves this, and truth is, not everybody agrees to this proof, the Chazon Ish might disagree with this proof, is that is based on a halacha in Hilchos Sukkah, right? So you extend to Hilchos Erevin, you can also extend to Hilchos Sukkah. But in Hilchos Sukkah, you also have to figure out what exactly is this shape, you know, what exactly are shapes, how exactly to define rooms and things like that. So the halacha in Hilchos Sukkah is, how many walls do you need for a sukkah?
Two and something.
Two and something. Now, where is that something? So where does that something go? So I think according, if you learn the Mishnah and you just learn the pictures on the Mishnayos, so it could be right. The minimum size of a sukkah is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, with a tefach coming out. So you have the L, and at the end of one of the L's, so you have a little tefach coming out. That's what the Mishnah seems to indicate. However, the Gemara adds in, and we probably paskin like the Gemara. That, and we do, I mean, Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Gemara, that tefach actually has to create a situation where rove of the third wall is filled up. So it's not sufficient for it to just be two walls and then another tefach coming out of one of the ends. You actually have to have that third post has to be at least a tefach wide and within 3 tefachim of the corner, creating a 4 tefach wall, technically. Meaning you now have a third wall that's 4 tefachim. It's only 1 tefach. Yeah, but that 1 tefach is 3 tefachim away from the wall, from the other wall that's there. So now you have 4 tefachim because it's connected by way of lavud. So the Gemara then has a discussion. Okay, so now do you need a Tzuras HaPesach on top? That's the Gemara that have the discussion. The Achronim then have a discussion. So what about on top? Do you need to have like a doorway on top there? And the Shulchan Aruch assumes, and Mishnah Berurah paskins that you could do this, that the Schach itself creates the Tzuras HaPesach. That's as long as you have Schach going to the end of that sukkah, so that's sufficient to create your doorway into the sukkah, and therefore allow yourself to have the 7x7 tefach sukkah with the extra tefach in the middle. So, and Achrom say, aha, you see from that it's going to be the same halach in Hilchos Mezuzah. That in Hilchos, if in Hilchos sukkah, the schach, which is the ceiling, counts as a doorway as well. So too in Hilchos Mezuzah, the ceiling can count as the doorway as well. Okay? So that's generally how we assume. So if you have, now back to our sources pages, right? So if you have a picture like, I see page 17, alright, so if you have a picture like number 26, so most assume that you're going to be chayiv in a sukkah. That issue with the Hilchos Sukkah thing is quoted in the footnotes here on page number 5, footnote number 39 from the Agur Ba'alacha. He's the one who puts that together with regards to the, right, if you look at the bottom, picture 176, right? So on picture 177 on page 5 in the Agur Ba'alacha, so you're going to be chayiv on a mezuzah in example number 1, but putter in example number 2, right? So following those, that shita, I keep saying that shita, because it could be that we shifted, but I'm not sure, and I haven't seen that inside yet. But following that shita, we can now turn to the case on page, there we go, page, where are we here? Page 6 and 7 in the source sheet. So these pictures, right, these are pretty big pictures, are actually a computer-generated diagram that is in the back of the Sefer HaMezuzah. In the back of the Sefer HaMezuzah, it sets up a house, and then it goes through room by room all the shilas and Hilchos Mezuzah that can come up. So here is the kitchen. Okay? So now it's a little confusing here because you got to first figure out which direction the mezuzah should be going into. So for that, I probably should have spelled out, put out the entire, right. So can you see the whole diagram here? Here we go. Here's the actual whole blueprints of the house. And we're talking about the kitchen, which is right here. So this is the doorway. So which way, and the garage and the front door over here. So probably the mezuzah really should be going into the kitchen, right? That's the assumption. The mezuzah should be going into the kitchen. So now, his question is, well, you're going into the kitchen here, and this hallway, see where this light is, this hallway is the elevator, is the air conditioning vent, right? So that air conditioning vent creates a situation where the ceiling in the kitchen is higher than the ceiling in the hallway. So he says, well, if you would be going into, if the mezuzah should be in space number one, going into the kitchen, so he suggests you actually would not put a mezuzah there because there is no mashkof. There is a mashkof. Yeah, there's only a mashkof for the hallway, for going into the room, but not a mashkof for going out of the room. That's his suggestion. Now, it could be we're going to switch it, but we'll have to say that for next week. He says, on the other hand, if the mezuzah would be in space number two, you would be chayiv. Similarly, if you go down to the, right, you would be chayiv, right? This is the other, this is the picture of that room from the kitchen side. And then, if you go to the next page, so there you have a mezuzah requirement going into the hallway. So he says, oh, if that's the case, so then the hallway is a room. There's no mashkov. No. From the room's perspective is what he says, right? It's a ceiling that ends there. And because it's a ceiling that ends there, you're going to be chayiv in a mezuzah in that particular case. So that is the way he holds. So I think that's probably enough. If I confused you enough, that's the mashkov situation. That's the situation with regards to the lintel. Now, where things get more controversial is where things stand with regards to the mezuzos. I mean, if you have a just coming attractions, right? So if you go to the diagram at the end, and these happen in most houses, right? You have a situation like if you go to page 10, where you have the diagrams from the Chovas Adar, so you have like a situation like Ches, where you have a large room next to a small room. So would you be chayiv a mezuzah from the large room going into the small room, or from the small room going into the large room, or neither, or both? Now, it never ends up being both. But how exactly do you figure out what the mezuzahs are? And truth is, based on the way we understand which side the mezuzahs are, how you understand which way the mezuzahs are, in this case of what's called Sof Amud, it could change this psak that we just gave with regards to the with the fan, with regards to the fan as well. So I think with that we'd have to save for next week because sorry, getting a little late. Okay.
What was the difference between what, the right side and the left side?
You mean in the kitchen situation?
Yeah, I can see in the picture why they
did. You got to think about it. I mean, the proof in this case, there we go. Okay. The proof in this case, again, we're going to follow the paradigm of the sukkah, right? Because that's sort of where this is learned out. At least that's in the Ogra Halacha, that's what he suggests this is being learned out from. So he says that a mash, right? Does a ending of a mashkov, does that count as a mashkov or not? So he says, yes, when it's inside, when it's the room that has the ceiling. Right? When the room has the ceiling, it's going to be chayiv. What?
Need to be in the room with the ceiling or entering the room?
The entering the room with the ceiling.
Okay, that's on the right.
Right? So in this scenario, if you're entering the kitchen, right, following number one, so it's true the room you're coming from has a mashkov, but the room you're going into does not. In which case he suggests that because the room that you're going into does not have a mashkof, you're going to be pater. Now, I think there's a different way of looking at it, I probably would say to put one in that kitchen, but for that, that's really based off the mezuzah limud, and that we'll have to wait for next week.
All right.
Okay? Any other ones? No? All right. All right, have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.